This song goes out to aspiring gospel artists everywhere. But because the Williams Singers is a quartet group, we want to send out a special dedication to our fellow quartet laborers. And in doing so, we pay tribute to those who paved the way for us. Listen.
There's a few things that I won't try to explain. Maybe it'll help you along while you're doing this singing thing. Listen, there's a whole lot of singers trying to be like Tommy Ellison saying,
I've got that Holy Ghost.
But when the promoter ain't got all your money, your Holy Ghost start looking funny. Some of the things to you, but it took some bad times for Willie Banks and the messenger to let us all know that
God is still in charge.
Ooh-wee. Can I tell you how I know? Because I've been in the storm. But it was a long wheel for me to go through some of the things I've been through. I had to be broke, I had to be molded, but I finally found out that it wasn't about me. So just think, honey, I'm gonna
give it all to you.
There's another thing you gotta look out for. Just as you decided you were gonna do it the right way. Hey,
don't you get judgmental
when you see another singer.
Sing it right and do it wrong.
You got to remember where you came from. And if you don't believe me, then I tell you just like the southern ass said,
that the only time that you should look down on a man is when you're picking him up.
Oh,
sweep around your own front door.
Oh, yeah. So now you know the deal. Lord is looking for singers who are gonna be real. It seemed to me that you got a choice to make. So I wanna ask y'all,
tell me what
the wave in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass.
Lord, help me. You know, I like the new songs and the way they sing them. It's something about those old songs that kind of put chill bumps on your arms. You know what I'm talking about. I remember my auntie a long time ago. She loved those old songs. And she would get up, but her name was Elvira Smith. But in church they called her Fireball. Fireball got up and she walked towards the pulpit, and everybody would stand up and they begin to gather around Fireball because they know they had a treat coming. You see, Fireball had a special song she was singing. And she would say words like this. You know what she said? Give me that old time religion. That's what Bob always said. Give me that old time religion. She said, please, please, give me that old time religion. She said, you know what, children? It's good enough. It's good enough. It's good enough for me. And she stood there and she wrung her hands. She said, it was good for my mother. She said, Lord, it was good. It was good. It was good for my father. I know. It was good. It was good for my mother and my father. And y'all know what? It's good enough. It's good enough. It was good enough. It's good enough for me. She said, wait a minute. It will save you when this world is on fire. She said, it will save you when this world is on fire. Oh, it will save you when this world is on fire. And I know it's good enough for me. Please give me that old time religion. She said, I can't do without it. She said, give me that old. I don't need nothing else but that. I know it's good. It's good enough. One thing you do for me, it makes me clap my hand. It makes me cry sometimes. It makes me shout. It makes me run. It's good enough. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for me. It makes me treat my friends right. It makes me love everybody. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Ain't God good? It's good enough. I know it's good enough. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Some of y'all remember this is how we used to have church back in the day. Everybody would get involved. Yeah. Listen, me and the Williams singers want to let you know something on tonight. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more great gospel music right after the station ID.
Coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
you know what I'm talking about.
Joyce Guthrie, you are listening to the number one quartet station in the world. the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
Catch the wave on the NFI. Catching the wave in HD2 sound with Tight Acoustic Bass.
I'll just say yes. You leave. afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life.
I'll just say.
Coming Out of the Closet in HD2 Sound with Tight Acoustic Bass.
Yeah. You're catching the wave in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass.
You're tuned into the stellar award-winning internet radio station.
You're at the right place at the right time.
The NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hold up. Wait just a minute.
The anointed one.
Vibes on your radio. Yo.
Keep it locked right here.
Showcase fellowship inspired. Showcase fellowship inspired.
Come on. Somebody can say that he's been better to me.
Try to contain it, it will just take over me.
For all that you've done,
and all that you are,
Welcome back. We are live from the NFI studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it is 9:30 a.m. on this wonderful Monday morning. Standing by that awesome preacher, teacher, man of God, and you all are ready to receive him on this Monday. I'm speaking of Reverend Robert E. Ellis out of Fort Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. And now, let's join him right here, live from the NFI studios.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's a reading from Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. Good morning, my friends. My name is Robert Ellison. Welcome to another episode of Approaching the Finish Line broadcast. As always, it is so good to be with you. Thank you for allowing me to come into your life to begin a new week. In the final couple of days of this present year, we're looking for a new year to come in just a couple of days, and it is my privilege, as always, to come to you to bring the Word of God and looking forward to what God has for us today. But before I begin, I want to pay tribute to our 39th president, President Jimmy Carter, who passed away just over the weekend at the tender age of 100. President Jimmy Carter was a great humanitarian, and for the majority of his life, he did the will of God according to his gifting, what God had placed in him. I had the pleasure to serve under him. He was my commander-in-chief when I served in the Marine Corps, and this was just at the turn of when Iran used to be Persia. And at one time, Persia was run by what was called the Shah. He was the Shah of Iran. He was deposed back in 1979. I was there when these things took place, just off the coast of Iran. The hostage situation, for those of you who are old enough to remember, this was back in 1980. Hostages were taken President Jimmy Carter was president at that time, and they were demanding, there were demands that were coming from the new leadership in Iran at that time. And these were the Ayatollahs, and they are presently in control of that nation to this very day. It is now an Islamic Republic, some say a radical Islamic Republic, and it's causing a lot of instability in the Middle East. So my thoughts, my prayers to the Carter family this morning. Jimmy Carter, our 39th president, has gone on to be with the Lord. Well, my friends, one day closer to glory, another day to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I always tell you, I'm a man on a mission, that mission to be salt and light in a dying world and to occupy until he comes. So much to talk about, so little time, so I'll get right to it this morning. But before we do, what do you say? Would you please join me in a moment of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning once again in praise and thanksgiving, thanking you, O God, for this day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, because you are sovereign, you are holy, you are righteous, you are just, and all things are under your control. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the great I Am, the one who was, who is, and is to come. In all of heaven and earth, there is none like you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. You've given us a beautiful day to serve you. And Father, we thank you for eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ, the one who came to set us free, the one who came to shed his own blood for the remission of sins in order that we would have life eternal, understanding that this life as we know it is all temporary. And there is a greater day that's coming, a new world, a world that is full of righteousness and glory. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. And until that time, we occupy. Father, I continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all of those, Lord, who are presently suffering. I pray that you would comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray these things. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to talk to you this morning, my friends, about aligning our resolutions in light of what is coming, in light of this new year that we are so privileged to see. I would like to talk this morning in the commentary about aligning our resolutions. Tomorrow evening, the world will be geared for celebrating the dawn of an incoming new year. Great significance is placed on this event as it signifies the passing of the old year in anticipation of the new. Wrapped within this anticipation comes great expectations of change that will in some way lead to a better, more prosperous year than the previous. Whether it concerns business, travel, financial prosperity, personal relationships, or health matters, resolutions are often made regarding such matters. But due to unforeseen circumstances or external interference that often arise in each new year, these resolutions are often subverted, such is the nature of this current life, as it can be quite unpredictable. James reminds us of life's unpredictability, where it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." That comes from James 4, 14 and 15. There's nothing wrong with making plans to do certain things. But the key is to include God in the planning process. Because he's sovereign and omnipotent, it's always wise to seek counsel from the one who controls the very circumstances that affect us all. Ephesians 1:11 through 12 clarifies this in saying, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. All too often, so much of our planning is done void of God's sovereignty or counsel, and in many cases are influenced by worldly aspirations. This is one of the reasons why in the model of the Lord's Prayer, we have the phrase, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This aligns us with the sovereign will of God in whatever we do. It's not that God does not want us to have dreams or ambitions. After all, he gave us all free will to choose our own destiny. However, God is also omniscient, which means that he knows all things. And according to his divine omniscience, he knew before the foundations of the world the destiny each of us would choose. The world would have us to celebrate those things that are temporal and superficial to some extent and can never lead to satisfying one's true desires. All over the world, the ball will drop at midnight on this particular night, signifying the outgoing of the old and the incoming of the new. That's the world. That's what the world does. Worldly aspirations are as fleeting as the tide that rises and falls along the seashore. The tide is most by weather conditions and the gravitational pull of the moon and the sun. These are external conditions, but God is not affected by external conditions, which speak to his sovereignty. He also has a predetermined plan for humanity that is eternal. In this coming new year, let us consider the counsel of God in our planning. And may we resolve to sow into the things that are eternal, as opposed to the temporal and superficial. In doing so, we yield to the sovereignty and the omniscience of God, aligning ourselves with a destiny that is far beyond any external interference and far more satisfying, therefore giving us the peace that surpasses all understanding can only be found in Jesus Christ, and the comfort in knowing that our destiny is secured in he who presently leads us to the finish line. That's my commentary to end this present year and looking forward to the new year, if the Lord wills. My friends, today, the topic, the main topic, all things new. Seeing as how we're coming into a new year, I thought it to be appropriate. Making all things new, coinciding with the incoming new year, is the biblical narrative of a renewed or restored creation. This narrative is seen throughout the Bible. It's embedded within the Old and the New Testament. God speaks in Isaiah 43:19 through 21 when he says, behold, I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen. These people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now, in context, God is speaking here of Israel. He clarifies in verse 22 by saying, but thou hast not called on me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. God promises one day to restore Israel according to his original plan for it. Presently, Israel is under a blindness that's been given to them by God. It's because of their disobedience. It's because of their idolatry. It's because of their unwillingness to recognize their Messiah. But that's only temporary, my friends. Don't be confused about this. Paul speaks about this in Romans chapter 11, where he tells us that he himself, being a Jew and of the tribe of Benjamin, but he doesn't want you to believe that the church somehow has replaced Israel. God forbid, he says. Even God says that he speaks of the moon and the stars falling from the sky, you know, this would happen should he forget Israel. This will never happen. God makes it clear that his people, Israel, will never be forgotten because, you see, my friends, they are eternal. The land itself is eternal. It's given by God to them as a covenant that he made with Abraham. God is a covenant maker, not a covenant breaker. Every covenant that God has established with mankind is still in effect. From the very beginning with Adam, when he made the first covenant with man, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth, have control over all the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, the beasts of the field. Still having babies? Man is still in control over the fowl of the air, the fishes of the sea, the beasts of the field. The covenant that God made with David is still in effect. The covenant that he made with Abraham for sure is still in effect. The covenant that he made with Moses is still in effect. It's eternal. All of these covenants that I mentioned to you is of the Old Testament. It is concerning the law of God. My friends, I want to remind you that when Jesus came onto the scene, he enforced a new covenant. That's presently what the church is under. But even bringing the new covenant, Jesus fulfilled the law. He was the one in the old covenant that everything was pointing to. The fulfillment of God's plan, God's eternal plan for salvation, the salvation of mankind. Why? Because all was lost through Adam. Jesus came to restore it all. And so, my friends, today we should have great joy in celebrating what was done for us. This is why we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ coming into the world, in order to set us free. This is what he did. And because we see what we see in the world today, a fallen world, and we can become depressed. We become discouraged. My friends, that's what faith is all about. But we walk by faith and not by sight. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Jesus instructs us to simply believe. Believe upon him at the death of his friend Lazarus. And there was the sisters Mary and Martha. And Martha came to him, and he says, in her while she was in her grief, Jesus asked her, And this had to do with believing. Do you believe, Martha, that he will be raised up? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe in that day. Well, what day was she talking about? Talking about resurrection day. It's a particular day that's set aside. And Jesus said, no. Do you believe? And then he brings it to her. He says, Martha, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not in a day. The resurrection is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. In other words, Martha, you don't understand. I am the resurrection. And then Jesus calls, he calls out and he calls him by name, Lazarus, come forth. After the stone was rolled away, and here he comes out, walking out of that tomb in his dressed in his grave clothes. And Jesus instructs the people around him to remove the grave clothes. That's what he does with us. For those of us who are brokenhearted, who have been beaten down by this world and all that is therein, there's new life that he gives. If you just believe, if you put your trust in him, he will give you, he will bring to you new life. This is why we must be born again, born of the Spirit. We are born of the water. When we come through our mother's womb, we're wrapped in a sack that's filled with water. And when the water breaks, out comes the infant, being born of the water, born of the flesh. He speaks with the Sadducee. And he says, can a man be born again? This is what was asked of Jesus. Can a man enter back into his mother's womb? And Jesus had to explain to him about the new birth. New birth. When you were born first of water, born of the flesh, born concerning Adam. But now at the coming of Christ, the man from heaven, the one from heaven who is spirit, you have to be born of a spirit. That's new life. That's life eternal. Consider the word of the Lord in Isaiah 46:22 as he speaks, for as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. God's promise to make all things new is not without his people Israel. They are the center of his, of it all. He speaks in Jeremiah 31:31-32 of a new covenant with Israel, saying, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break. See, God is not a covenant breaker. God is a covenant maker, but man breaks covenant with God. Although I was an husband, God says, unto them, saith the Lord. Even though he was a husband to Israel, they broke covenant with him. But even so, God has not forgotten them. Hebrews 9:1 speaks of the first covenant having contained the ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. The ordinances, such as the candlestick, table, and the shewbread, all signified the sanctuary, the veil, the tabernacle, the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, Aaron's rod that budded, the manna, and the tables of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, were all symbols of a greater and everlasting covenant to come. I'm talking newness, my friends, today. I'm talking about making all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm talking all things eternal, my friends. All things becoming new. But the world would have you to focus on the dropping of the ball. They would have you focus on Wall Street and what's happening with the financial markets. They would have you focus on whose house will it be in? How many of us are going to get together to celebrate this new year? What clothes will I wear? What shoes will I wear? What this, what that? It's all temporal. These things are not eternal. I'm speaking to you today about eternal things. The newness that God promises. Ephesians 4:24 exhorts us to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 2 Peter 3:13, according to the promise of God, tells us to look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. According to Revelation 2:17, those who overcome will be given to eat of the hidden manna and a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knows saving he that receives it. At the passing of my beloved wife, back in 2019, the grief hit me so hard, I went into a great state of depression. And for a long time, I kept to myself. During that time, God consoled me. He showed me things. He put me in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel. All of the books that are tied to the book of Revelation, and he showed me things coming in the future. I created a little garden out in the yard. And in that garden, surrounding a tree, I planted flowers. And I said, well, you know, it would be good to decorate the flowers with something. I think I'll put some stones out here. So I went digging and into the wooded area just behind my house, I found some stones. And they were huge stones, unbelievably. But they were very well shaped. And I said, wow, these are nice. And then I had the gumption, the move to paint these stones white. And so I painted them white, so as they would show up very well in the flower garden that I had created in honor of the memory of my wife. And on the stones, I painted my name on one of the stones. I painted her name on the other stone. And on her stone, I wrote under it the words, love is eternal. I was prompted to do this by the Holy Spirit because God is the one who moved me. God is love. Love is eternal. Because God is eternal. And then he directed me to this passage that I just recited for you, Revelation 2:17, and my mouth dropped wide open. It's as if God was speaking to me the whole time to remind me that he was with me and to show me that he has not forgotten, that my sorrow one day will cease, my tears will be wiped away. And when I read that passage, all I could do was cry, because I knew that God had spoken to me. This is how God deals with me. He will never show me or tell me something that is not in his word. I'll continue. So he gives us a new name. And then on a white stone, Revelation 3:12 speaks of the overcomer that is made a pillar in the temple of God, and the name of God, and the name of the city of God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, will be written upon him. And the new name shall be written upon him. Finally, our current body will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. I'm talking new, my friends. This is the new according to God, not according to the world. They will be transformed from mortality to immortality. The final stage of our redemption will be made complete upon receiving our glorified bodies. After this, according to Romans 8, the entire creation, which now groans in anticipation of man's restoration, can now be redeemed, restored to its original glory. Right now, the world groans in anticipation through floods, through earthquakes, through volcanic eruptions. My friends, this is not natural. Death is not a natural thing. It was never meant to be. But because of the evil one, because of that fallen angel and how he deceived Adam, the entire world was turned upside down. This is the world that we live in. This is why God has put us here at this time, at this moment, to be light into a dark world to glorify God. Finally, my friends, I want to close. What a glorious day that awaits those who believe. If you haven't already, I want you to tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell somebody that Jesus is coming soon, and we've got to be ready. I look forward to speaking with you, my friends, in the coming year. There's a lot of exciting things that I know that God is going to do, and I thank God that he's given me the privilege to be there to help you to navigate, to help you to connect the dots in all that's happening in the world and why it's important to cling to him. God bless you, my friends, that you will all have a safe and happy new year. God bless.
You've been listening to Reverend Robert E. Ellison out of Fort Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. Be sure to join him every Monday, 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith to the finish line where I see God's face.
HD2. Come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
Yo, 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 yo.
You're in the mix.
Catch the wave on the NFI. Coming to you live in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
Gospel music is
the people's station.
Preach, preach, preach up.
I know that's right.
Can I get it in an amen? Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody.
Praise him. Holy Ghost DJ. It's your boy on the ones and twos. Gospel flavor coming at you. 2027 Gospel Station. Keep it locked. That's how we do it around here.
NFI. North Carolina. Georgia. California. New York. Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Gospel Network, the number one station in the world.
You help me to pay. I said one more blessing.
up for this one.
Cause I got a lot of things I got to tell the Lord. Trust the Lord, He woke me up right here.
I'm William Sanders, lead singer of the Mighty Golden Bells of Raleigh, North Carolina. You're listening to the number one quartet station in the world, the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
Catch the wave on the NFI.
Yeah.
thing after prayer meeting, after somebody got a breakthrough, moving from side to side, giving God praise, and somebody would break out with a song and say, listen, oh, he's a wonder in my
you. You're listening to the number one quartet station in the world, and I'm the old Chatham County country boy. Catch the wave.
Look down. How many of you walked in here this morning? Look at your feet and point to them and say, thank you, Lord, that you got feet to walk. You got a voice to talk. How many of you had a place to sleep last night? Aren't you blessed? Aren't you blessed? And yet there are some people always complaining. I don't care what mama used to say, we'd be crying with a loaf of bread on our own. I heard a story the other day that there were some folks just like us on their way to church, all dressed up, Bible under their arm, looking sanctimonious, but they were complaining. Here's old wino. Wasn't dressed up, didn't have no Bible, wasn't on his way to church, but I heard him say, I'm blessed. And it's just good to wake up in the morning and know that you're blessed. I'm
touch that music with the anointing.
Every day of my life, I get a new blessing. Well, the Lord sends new blessings my way. And he does it over and over and over again. Come on, y'all. About the Lord.
music at its best. Catch the Wayno in HD.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.